Visit Frontier Outfitters, keeping hunters dry and comfortable for decades with rain gear by Helly Hansen, fieldwear by Scent Blocker, shirts, vests, coats, and pants by Browning, boots by Ganner and Lacrosse, socks by Smart Wool and Fox River. You're covered head to toe, warm and dry. Your successful hunt starts at Frontier today. Clothing to tents, camp gear, and more. Frontier Outfitters, for your Alaskan lifestyle.
The following interviews and commentaries are for entertainment only. The views and opinions expressed therein are those of the individual speakers and callers and do not necessarily represent the views of KFAR Radio or any of our respective employees, affiliates, or sponsors of this program.
Problems, problems, problems all day long. Will my problems work out right or wrong? My baby don't like anything I do. My teacher seems to feel the same way too.
Good morning, and welcome to Problem Corner on KFAR 660 AM, 97.5 FM. This is Mike Prox filling in for David Prues this morning on kind of a damp August Tuesday, I guess we could call this. And so at any rate, this morning we're going to have a audience participation show. I hope that you will call in, and we'll go down a list of things, but kind of don't have a guest this morning, so I'm depending on you to help me out and keep the program going. So if you have anything on your mind, the number to call is 458-8255. That's 458-TALK. And so we'll get going. There's quite a few things to talk about. And for those who don't know, I serve in the Alaska State Legislature, and we are in our interim session. So it's a good chance for people to get in touch with your state representatives. And we are in what is now the Global Alaska building over off the Old Steese across from Home Depot. We're on the third floor over there. And, well, I try to have somebody there all the time. but so if you're in the area, drop in, say hello. If you're making a special trip, it pays to call ahead to make sure that someone is there so you don't waste a trip. But we're over in the Global Credit Union building off the Old Steese Highway across from Home Depot up on the fourth floor. And then it's just a chance to and take the opportunity to stop in and visit with your representative in person. Let us know what's on your mind, who you are and what's on your mind and why, and we can have a good conversation to put in the mix of things that we have to consider when we get back to Juneau, and that we've got until about the middle of January is when we head back to Juneau and start hashing out the budget and all the things that everyone is interested in. But this morning, I serve on the Health and Social Services Committee in the legislature, and one of the big issues that has been in the forefront this year is childcare. There's a shortage of child care services, and across the state, there's many issues with that. And the governor formed a task force last May, I believe, is when they started. And the members of the task force, there's people from different organizations that provide childcare services. There's an outfit called Thread that is sort of the representative, helps childcare providers get through the licensing process. If you need childcare services, they provide a referral services and they advocate for childcare providers. And they're on the task force. Folks from the commissioner of the Department of Health is on the task force, the lieutenant governor, and quite a few other people. So they've been going around the state this summer, and it'll go into the fall, getting feedback from people and trying to sort out how we can improve childcare service. And the challenge is that it's been difficult to find providers, childcare people that are licensed, and then people to work in the industry. It is kind of a stressful job, as you can imagine. You have to be cut out, have a calling, if you will, for providing childcare. And it's just been fun to listen to those people that are in the industry who really care about taking care of children. And then there's some licensing requirements, a few other things, relatively low pay. I think that's a challenge to keep people employed in that industry, providing the service, and quite a few other things. And so we're going through that this summer. And if you have any, if you are a childcare provider, or you might be looking for childcare personally, have some experience in that. Perhaps you're a business that is finding it difficult to hire people because the people that you want to hire need childcare. So we got to try and sort this out, and that's what we're trying to do. And just for the kind of an overview of it, you can take care of up to 4 children who are not related to you. You can provide child care services without obtaining a specific child care license from the Department of Health. Issues a license specific to child care. If you're getting paid for that, of course, you have to have a business license like any other business. And then if you are taking care of more than 4 children, you should get a license from 8 to 12. There's one level. There's some background checks that need to be taken care of and some basic child safety courses. And that's from people that have a business that takes care of 8 to 12. And then if you want to take care of more than 12 children, then there's another licensing level and some more hoops to jump through. And somebody has bailed me out. I have a call, which is great. Let me go to the call. Good morning. You're on KFAR, and who am I speaking with?
This is Mike. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, Mike. What's on your mind?
Well, I noticed you were talking about child care, and mm-hmm. I've got 4 kids that all have children here in Fairbanks, and they're dealing with preschool and child care and school itself. And I just have noticed over the last several years, and it's another thing we can blame on COVID, I guess. But, you know, the idea that when my wife and I were bringing up children in Fairbanks, we knew that the bus was going to show up every morning to pick up our kids.
Mm-hmm.
And we knew that right after that, we could go to work. And that at some point in the late afternoon, they would be dropped off pretty close to our home.
Right.
And it freed us up to be able to work when our kids were, you know, 6, 7, 8, 9 or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And I just have seen that that is just not the case now. Between the transportation problems and some of the other issues, it just seems like that, if you have a full-time job and you have a child in school, you're kind of screwed. To be totally frank, and unless your boss is a pretty good boss and lets you deal with the concept of having to make sure that your kids get back and forth from school and whatnot, So I just think, you know, this goes way beyond just daycare. This goes into, you know, people's careers while they're trying to raise children. And I just noted that with my children, for example, it has been very, very difficult for them to manage those things.
Yep.
So, you know, just wanted to throw that out there. It's not just about daycare. It's and by the way, they do have the daycare problems, you know, that you're talking about. And it seems like the few places in Fairbanks have just gotten lower staffed and lower quality. And I don't know if it's a money thing, because certainly, you know, when you're paying $2,000 a month for childcare, that's not a cheap bill. So
right.
I'm going to throw that out there, Mike.
Yeah, good. Thank you for calling. You're bringing up the fact that there's a lot of facets to that. We are at quarter past the hour. We have to take a short break for some commercial announcements, but if you'd want to hang on through the break, we'll pick this up on the other side.
Sure.
Okay, stand by.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
The Valdez Fishing Report, brought to you by Frontier Supply Company on Van Horn Road, the only Alaska-owned full-line wholesale distributor of plumbing, heating, industrial piping, waterworks, and mining products for over 30 years. Sure, they're big enough to handle the supply needs of pipelines and gold mines, but they're personable enough to help you with your needs as well. Frontier Supply Company, for all of your plumbing and heating needs, on Van Horn Road, online at frontiersupply.com. That's Frontier Supply Company.
It's time for the Valdez Fishing Report. Interviews, derby standings, tips, and advice for Prince William Sound.
This is Barrett McCombie with an update on fishing in Valdez. Kevin Kaiser of Albuquerque, New Mexico, reeled in a 6.6-pound silver salmon in Valdez last Wednesday. His fish was not big enough to get on the leaderboard for the Valdez Silver Salmon Derby, but his fish did have a small green tag on it that read Valdez Fish Derbies. Kaiser brought his fish into the Valdez Fish Derby's weighing station knowing that one of the tagged fish was worth $10,000. Unfortunately for Kaiser, his tagged fish did not have the big money tag, but it did take home a nice Valdez Fish Derby's jacket. And now there are only 19 tagged fish in the waters of Prince William Sound, and one of them is worth $10,000 cash. In order to qualify for any of the tagged fish prizes, anglers need to have a daily or season Silver Salmon Derby ticket. Tickets are available at charters and stores around town. Numerous king salmon were caught on the Valdez Women's Silver Salmon Derby on August 12th. Anglers were trolling at 40 to 60 feet when were catching good numbers of coho and king salmon near 17 Mile Beach in the Valdez Narrows. To target king salmon, Alaska Department of Fish and Game recommends trolling with a large flasher and medium to small sized herring. The first place prize in both the Valdez Silver Salmon and Halibut Derby is $10,000 cash. The second place prize in both derbies is $3,000 cash. And the third place prize is $1,500 cash. The final day for both of the derbies is Sunday, September 3rd at noon, and winners will be announced that evening.
Go fishing, Valdez! Easy Freeze is open 5:30 a.m. to 9 p.m. daily. They can book your fishing charter and blast freeze and vacuum pack your fish. Going out on a private boat? Come get your bait and ice. Easy Freeze can process your catch, too. They've got a variety of seafood for sale at their shop on Chittenden Drive, and if you have special requests for pickups or drop-offs, they'll do their best to accommodate. Easy Freeze!
KVAK's Valdez Fishing Report. Fish Valdez and reel in a big one.
KFAR weather.
Chance for scattered showers today. Otherwise, cloudy skies expected. High temperatures reach up to 63. South winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Chance for scattered rain showers again tonight. Lows around 48. Overcast. 67 tomorrow. Slight chance for scattered showers. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
And we are back. Thank you for staying with us. And thank you, Mike, for hanging on. And if there's a conversation between Mike and Mike, it's got to be a good conversation. We're talking about childcare. So, yes, you bring up some good points. It isn't just the childcare centers that we have to think about. You brought up the point of transportation to schools, school buses. The school bus operator is having trouble finding people to go to work and drive school buses, and that adds a complication to it. And the schools are having trouble finding teachers and education support staff. So we're just running into all kinds of things that are kind of piling up on us. So it is. Go ahead.
It just seems to me. I mean, you know, the private sector and daycare. You know, that's one issue. You know, but when we start talking about, you know, public education and the public system, you know, there's some opportunities for us as collectively to help out with some of these family issues relating to childcare and consistency and, you know, not interrupting people's required work, because, I mean, that's how they pay the bills.
Right.
They've got to be able to go back and forth to work. And, you know, my brother takes care of his grandchildren and picks them up because they get dropped off so far away from the house and has to leave work to do it. But, I mean, fortunately, he's in a position to do that and help his daughter out. And, you know, then another condition in my family is my granddaughter could have gone to school this year, but she missed that cutoff by like 3 days.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's a $12,000 bill on my son and his wife, you know,
right,
because now they have to go a whole nother year, you know, with two children in daycare in order for them both to work, which is what it requires at this point,
right,
for them to make ends meet.
Yep.
So I just think, you know, we have some opportunities within the school system, just like we did with, you know, making sure that kids at least got one decent meal a day, no matter what happened at home and some of those other concerns that were out there for children. And so I just think that might be one place for that team that's reviewing all of this to consider.
Right.
You know, what can we do to support these young families with respect to the school system?
Yes, that is part of the equation. Right now, the easy solution is always throw more money at it. But there are others. You mentioned that there are opportunities, and I think that's how we need to look at it. There's definitely problems, but there are definitely some opportunities here. You mentioned, all right, we talked about the school bus shortage, school bus driver shortage. Don't know if that that is a job that might fit for some people. It is kind of a good, or can be, I should say, a good way to supplement retirement income. You work, I think it's like on the order of 4 hours in the morning, and then there's a break in the middle of the day where you can take care of other stuff and then come back and work another 4 hours. And that split shift, that is a impediment to some people that want to work, you know, go to work, work 8 hours, go do something else. But it's an opportunity for people that might have a more flexible schedule and can work in the morning, do other things during the day, come back, finish the day in the afternoon. With that, of course, like everything, there's some hoops you have to jump through. It's getting a little more complicated to get a school bus driver's license than when I went through the drill, which was probably 30 years ago, but it is an opportunity. And there's an opportunity for young parents. Perhaps it might be worth evaluating if, instead of spending, I think the average cost is on the order of $1,200 a month. But if you enjoy taking care of children, you might want to take care of your own and take a few other kids in. And you can supplement that. And I think in many instances, people come out further ahead by just engaging in a home-based childcare system. That's an opportunity. If anyone's thinking about it, it's worth checking into. Also,
it certainly is very difficult. I kind of feel like I was born in the perfect time because, you know, my wife and I had the opportunity to use a daycare. Mm-hmm. When my last son was born,
mm-hmm.
and that daycare is now closed.
Mm-hmm.
So the ones that I knew about in Fairbanks are now closed, and the ones that are still open seem to be struggling.
Yes,
and it just doesn't make sense. And you know, with respect to the bus drivers and some of these other careers, Mm-hmm. You know, if you don't treat people good,
yep,
pay them fairly, and recognize that they're making a living doing what they're doing, and they have to be able to make a living, or they're not going to continue to show up.
Right.
You know, you got to take care of these people, and when they do good, you got to reward them for that. And
yep.
I don't know that there's a lot of that going on right now. It's almost like every man for himself. You know,
it kind of, we have degenerated into that a little bit. That we're all in it for ourselves, and I think we got to get beyond that somewhat. We're in a community, like it or not. We're in a community, and we've got to give some to get along, be considerate of others. And you're right. I think there is a need for better compensation. I think people get into childcare because they enjoy doing that, and they have a gift for taking care of children. Very rewarding occupation. But there is some minimum amount that you need to keep yourself in groceries and in all the family costs that you have. So, yep, I think that's part of it, is we have to find some way of really finding more money to put into the childcare business. And, of course, there's the federal government, there's the state government, but there's also private companies that I think need to give some more thought to that. It is a benefit that you could offer to employees. Maybe larger organizations, it might pay for them to have their own childcare center. I know the university is expanding their childcare center for university employees, and some other larger businesses are opening up childcare centers for employees. And that's great. City of Fairbanks is developing a partnership with the Boys and Girls Club that's going to be in City Hall. There's some renovations that they have to do to get that ready to go. But when they do, they will be offering, I guess, if you will, first dibs to city employees. But that, if there's room, that is going to be open to the general public. So, yep, there's a few things that are being done. I think much more could be done in that area.
I think it's interesting that, you know, the two organizations that you mentioned that are being proactive are, mm-hmm, are public entities.
Yep.
And, you know, it's great if you got one of those public jobs, but if you're out there in the private sector,
yep,
pouring concrete or you know, other types of service industry jobs, it's already, you know, kind of low scale.
Yep.
To begin with, and then to have all of this other stuff on top of you, you know, and so I just think it's interesting that we've delineated between, you know, public and private. And that's, to me, that's just kind of sad,
mm-hmm,
that not everybody has the same opportunities there.
Yeah, you're correct. And I think we need to get businesses thinking about that some more. It is a benefit that they certainly can offer. Perhaps they cannot afford to open their own child care center, but maybe some cooperative agreements with other businesses to support a child care center or something along those lines, and start thinking about that. Because right now there is relatively little in the grand scale of things being provided from the business sector. Some businesses are allowing children to be with their employees. If that works, that's great. Mostly larger businesses are... some larger businesses have their own child care center, if you will. But we haven't thought about the lower level.
Last thing I'll say, Mike, is, mm-hmm, you know, these, when we're all sitting in wheelchairs wondering who's going to change our diaper, that's who we're talking about.
There you go. Keep that in mind.
And
yes.
If we don't take care of these kids and give them every opportunity in the world and these young families,
yep,
to prosper in this community, then we're going to be in a wet diaper for a long time.
Yep. Well, I hear the music starting. That means that the satellite is overhead and it's going to take over the program in just a few seconds. So we will take a break for news and weather and a few announcements from our sponsors, and we will be back after that. You're listening to KFAR Problem Corner. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
I'm Rich Dennison. At least one student has died after a school bus crashed in Lawrenceville, Ohio, after the driver tried to avoid an oncoming minivan that had crossed the center line.
The school bus traveled off the right side of the roadway and overturned.
Ohio State Trooper Tyler Ross says the student who died was ejected from the bus. 23 other students were injured in the crash on what was the Northwestern School District's first day of classes. The search for the missing continues in Hawaii.
Maui County officials say more than 800 people are still unaccounted for, down from the original list of more than 2,000 names. The number of confirmed dead has risen to 115.
Fox's Tanya J. Powers. Tropical storm Harold making landfall in the South Texas coast earlier today, bringing wind gusts of up to 50 miles per hour and up to 6 inches of rain through tomorrow. America is listening to Fox News.
It's time for your Alaska News Minute.
The Fairbanks Daily News Miner reports that soft-sided tents are restricted at Riley Creek Campground in Denali National Park after a black bear ripped open one over the weekend. The campers were nearby but not in the tent, a Denali National Park news release stated. The campers got into their car and honked the horn. Rangers responded and attempted to push the bear out of the area by yelling, grouping up, and eventually deploying bear spray, the press release stated. As it moved out of the area, the bear investigated an RV camper by standing and putting its paws on it. Rangers placed a culvert trap in an area outside the campground in an attempt to capture the bear if it returned. On the morning of August 19th, the same bear was seen investigating the entrance to the Muri Science and Learning Center. It then moved on to investigate a nearby bear-resistant dumpster and concessionaire cabins. Tents at Riley Creek Campground will remain hard-sided for only at least 7 days. Rangers will then reassess based on the sighting or absence of bears in the area. Meanwhile, campers with soft-sided tents are being directed to alternative locations.
Streaming live online at KFAR660.com.
Nowadays, nothing is more important than saving money. And the best way to do that is with the radio station's 50-50 Friday offer. Every week, a different special from a different local business, offering gift certificates at half price. All from your favorite restaurants, shops, and events. So what's this week's 50-50 Friday offer?
This week's 50-50 Friday deal is North Star Honey Wagon, Fairbanks' newest septic pumping team. With those incredible new shiny trucks and the latest equipment, they can have your system cleaned out in no time, and you can get it done at half price. And although they clean out septic systems all year round, get it done before the snow flies at half price. North Star Honey Wagon, the septic guys, this week's 50-50 Friday offer.
Just log on to this station's website and click on that red 50-50 tag in the upper right-hand corner. Have your credit card ready and get ready to save big. 50-50 Friday, every Friday at 9 a.m. from the radio station.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Okay, and we are back. Thank you for staying with us. This is Mike Prox, your guest host on Problem Corner, 660 AM and 97.5 FM. And I'm filling in for David Prus, who, well, I'll assume that he's doing something worthwhile, something related to being a mayor. Anyway, this morning we are talking right now about childcare, and I'm kind of depending on people to call in, keep the conversation going. So if you'd like to call in, give us your thoughts on childcare or anything else, kind of an open mic today. The number to call is 458-8255. That's 458-TALK. And if you'd like to call in and join the program, you're certainly welcome. So we had a good talk going before the break, talking about childcare and other aspects of that. One of them that was mentioned was on school buses. There's all kinds of others, and I have a phone call, which is what I was looking for, so we'll go to the phones. Good morning. You're on KFAR. And who am I speaking with?
Italia Carson.
Italia, how are you this morning?
I'm great.
Good.
So one option that I don't know if people are aware of, because as you know, we are immigration attorneys in North Pole at Polaris Law Group, but that is the option of the au pair. You can try, as a family, you can apply to sponsor an au pair. It's a non-immigrant visa, and we do those for a foreign national to come over between the ages of 19 and 26 to be an au pair. And typically what that entails is you provide them room and board and a weekly stipend, which can be anywhere from, you know, typically $200 to $300. And they're basically a child care provider.
Interesting, which is why we have people like you call in.
And the other option for employers is our employment-based immigration services. There are a range of immigration and non-immigration visas that employers can use to sponsor various types of foreign nationals to come over and fill the shortages in the workforce here. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't doesn't displace an American, depending on what kind of visa you're using. You have to do your due diligence and prove to the Department of Labor that you can't fill these shortages. But there are other types of visas available through the through what was known as NAFTA. It's now USMCA, which is visas, non-immigrant visas available for professionals in Canada or Mexico. And we have had much success bringing professionals in to fill roles such as architect and medical professionals. And those are great visas that get pushed through fairly quickly, and they allow the foreign national professional to be here for up to 3 years, and they're renewable.
Interesting.
So lots of options through the immigration, through the immigration process.
Right. And so that they, before they're issued a permit, they would have to have some employment lined up, I'm guessing.
Sure. For the au pair, there are services available. You know, we can assist in candidates for au pairs. There's also other, employment services available to identify interested candidates. But they do have to have credentialing, mm-hmm, and such. And for the professionals, of course, they do have to, depending on what their profession is, they do have to have, proof credentialing through the Department of State before they're going to issue any sort of a visa to come over here and work. So we do provide those services at Polaris Law Group in North Pole, and immigration is federal, so we have clients in the United States and in foreign countries.
Oh, interesting. And that's really an interesting option to, have the child care service, but also to expose your child to some other culture.
Exactly, because as an au pair, they have to be fluent in English, and obviously, mm-hmm, depending on what country they're coming from, it's an opportunity for some language immersion for your children.
Mm-hmm. Well, very interesting. And your law service is located out in North Pole.
Yes, and our office is in North Pole, but like I said, immigration law is federal, and we have clients, and we do consultations with many, clients in the lower 48, as well as, we have international clients, of course, because we do visas. So we have, mm-hmm, clients that are located in other countries as well.
Oh, okay. Is there a statewide organization for people that might be listening who are not living in the Fairbanks area?
Well, there's a website called myvisajobs.com that a lot of foreign nationals go to find companies that are hiring H-1Bs, and there's been a lot in the news about H-1B visas, and also H-2B visas and such. So a lot of foreign nationals register on those that particular website, and so some of the mid to larger corporations, you know, post vacancies or post needs on that website. But there are also some smaller, you know, some smaller organizations that help connect employers to foreign national employee candidates.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. I've heard anecdotally that the schools are starting to recruit foreign nationals, in particular in the more bush and rural schools in Alaska. But I've heard that there's some activity in that area filling the vacancies, even in the Fairbanks North Star Borough, which is an interesting approach.
UAF typically hires through the H series of visas as well. So it's something that it's basically employment based immigration, and we practice that at our office, and we do provide a 15-minute free consultation via Zoom for any employer who's interested or any families that are interested in exploring the option of the au pair.
Okay, good. And the name was Polaris Law Group, correct?
Yep, Polaris Law Group, AK.com.
Okay, good. You know, this would be an interesting subject in and of itself, how to take advantage of that. Both, I would imagine that other countries have the same opportunities, and that would be a good experience for people. And I know that the visitor industry and the fishing industry also depends, actually, on recruiting people for the summers.
Absolutely, and that's through the J-1 visa process. So the hotel and hospitality industry, as well as the seasonal fishing and construction, they often utilize the J-1 visa process to plus up and meet their labor needs. Because it's a challenge across the United States right now, but it's typically been a long-term challenge in Alaska.
Mm-hmm. It certainly has. Child care, the problems didn't show up just with COVID. That has certainly exacerbated things quite a bit. But it has been a longstanding, a building problem that it's time to address it and get all of the options that are out there under discussion. And in this case, this might be a several-year option. So it's not just college kids over the summer. This might be full-time for a couple of years.
Right, absolutely. The J-1, as you mentioned, that typically is kids over the summer. It's a short-term solution for the plus-up that our small businesses need for the hotel and the tourism industry. But, long-term solutions can be found, through other types of employment-based immigration.
Mm-hmm.
And again, we're not displacing American workers. That's kind of a scare tactic.
Mm-hmm.
You have to demonstrate, depending on the visa, you have to demonstrate that you have not been able to, hire. And having been a procurement law attorney with the federal government, I can tell you that federal contractors here have always had a challenge with the labor pool in fulfilling government contracts on our installations and with executive agencies. So it's a challenge up here, and COVID-19 exacerbated it.
Right, yes. But you're right. It always has been. And I don't know that that's well understood, but a lot of these construction projects, and necessarily, there's only a limited number of people that are ready, willing, and able to go to work. So they have to go somewhere to fill them. So we shouldn't be thinking about excluding that. That's an opportunity for everyone. Well, good. I'll have to follow up with you on that. That could be a much bigger contributor to the daycare shortage problem, but also a real opportunity to interact with some other folks from different areas of the world. And that yeah, in itself is a good thing. Yeah. Well, good.
All right. Well, thank you for having me.
All righty. Thank you for calling. And let's see. Now we are up. It's 1:45. That means we should take a break and hear from our sponsors. And stay with us. We will be right back after these words.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
I wanted to let you know we had a terrific dinner last night at Silver Gulch.
Silver Gulch? I thought they were closed.
They have been open since last October, with dinner Wednesday to Sunday starting at 4. Last night was our second visit.
Oh, I always love their food. Do they still serve the beer cheese soup?
Yes, and a lot of our longtime favorites as well. Last night, I tried the Brick Oven Club, and it was so good. I also tasted the miso steak. Perfection.
We used to love going there. I can't wait to go back.
Silver Gulch. Yes, we are open. In Historic Fox, Wednesday to Sunday from 4 p.m.
The Fairbanks Clinic has been here for you since 1932, the year Amelia Earhart completed the first female nonstop solo flight across the Atlantic, the year BBC aired their first television broadcast. That was over 90 years ago, and they're still here, still taking care of you and your family. That's the Fairbanks Clinic in their beautiful building at the corner of Cushman and Gaffney. Call and schedule your appointment today with their family care practice. That's the Fairbanks Clinic, here for you since 1932.
Weather brought to you by Bigfoot Pumping and Thawing, offering 24-hour service from Salcha to Nanana and no mileage charge on callouts. The Bigfoot with the helping hand. Bigfoot Pumping and Thawing.
KFAR Weather.
Cloudy skies today with a chance for scattered rain showers. High temperatures reach up to 63. Southerly winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Overcast skies tonight. Chance for scattered rain showers. Lows level off around 48. Slight chance for scattered showers again tomorrow. High temperatures reach up to 67. Cloudy skies expected. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Laura Lockwood.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Okay, and we are back. Thank you for staying with us, and thank you for the sponsors. Be sure to tell the sponsors of the program you heard it on KFAR, and the one that caught my attention this morning was Silver Gulch. Frankly, I didn't realize that they had reopened, but we were out there last week. We took a tour up at the Fort Knox Mine, and then at the end of the tour, we stopped by for lunch, and it was really good to know that they're back open, and it was a really good lunch, and that's just good for the community. Glad to hear that they're back open and serving the community. So, this is Mike Prox filling in for David Prus on Problem Corner, and we have kind of got an open mic. Anything that is on your mind, please give us a call, and we'll see what we can do. The number to call is 458-8255. That's 458-TALK. And we have been talking about child care, and this has been a great conversation. There's a lot to it. There's lots of opportunities for anyone that is interested in helping somebody with child care needs. There's the school bus needs. Lots of opportunities out there. For every problem, the flip side of a problem is an opportunity. And I have a phone call, so we will go to the phones. Good morning. You're on KFAR, and who am I speaking with?
Oh, good morning, Mike. This is Al.
Al, how are you doing?
Doing great.
Good.
It's a good show. Listening. Good. You know, what I've been hearing is couples have made life choices. And we have programs to help foreign nationalists, and we have the public sector that can just use other people's money to fix their issues with their employees, and everybody else is kind of, you know, you made a choice to have children, and now you want the government to help you do something with that.
I get your point, and I agree. We should take this problem on ourselves. It's an individual problem. It's a private sector problem. That's the best way to solve it. And just kind of to put it into perspective, if we're waiting for the state legislature to solve the problem, in the best case scenario, nothing is going to happen until July 1st next year. We have to go through the budget process and pass laws and pass budgets and do this and that. And anything that we do doesn't become effective until the next start of the next fiscal year, which is July. It's, well, 11 months away, almost, more or less.
Yeah, no, and I understand that. And that's kind of one of my points is why should one, the public or the public sector, mm-hmm. you know, use other people's money in their budgets, you know, to help their employees out. That's not really the responsibility of a borough or city or a state fiscal plan.
Mm-hmm.
And then two, you know, that's what would create more opportunity for daycare centers, maybe some competition, and maybe lower some of them prices.
Mm-hmm.
But once you get government involved and there's exemptions and there's incentives to do something somewhere else or just provide it for their employees,
mm-hmm.
You know, take some of that need from the public sector to create these new opportunities for child daycare.
Well, I agree. I think that is definitely something that we need to think about and, if you will, to a degree, step up to the plate.
Yeah.
Because it's a win-win situation when it's done in the private sector. That's the main point. The other point is that when we turn any service over to the government has to operate by regulations. They just have to. And that is frustrating and time-consuming and drives up the cost of things.
And why do you feel that way?
Why is that?
Why do you feel that the government has to regulate somebody's business?
Well, if you're spending government money, that's where the starting point is.
Just leave it in the private sector and
exactly.
Get government out.
Yes, that's my preferred solution. And I think there are a lot of opportunities that we're not looking at. We're not focusing on the opportunities that are out there because once you get into the government system, you tend to think about making that work better, understandable. And not to throw anybody under the bus because that's not the right way to look at it, that there's just a bunch of deadbeats trying to make things difficult. It isn't, but they really are trying their best. It is just refreshing to me to work with the people in the agencies. I was talking with the director of the Child Care Licensing Department last night, and you know, the biggest thing is that she is trying to do what she can to straighten this out, and the other departments are, but you got to work with the legislature and you got to get 21 people in the House and 11 people in the Senate to agree, and it's just difficult.
Somebody in private business trying to jump through all the loopholes that the legislature has made or the agency through regulations have made is burdensome and probably unnecessary. Most people are protected through the civil court system. If anything may happen to their children or they have a disgruntled with whatever contract they have drawn up between a business and an individual.
Right. And if it's run through the private sector, you have more people providing the service. So you might not get along with some child care provider in this interest, just for whatever reason. But if the simple solution is, well, okay, go find another one. But right now there are not that many options available, at least well known to the public. I think there is on the order of 40 licensed child care providers in Fairbanks. And you would think that would be quite a few, but it really isn't because each one of them can only do so many, and there's much greater demand. But we just haven't been thinking about what I think a big opportunity for a lot of people. If you have children of your own, or maybe you just like taking care of children, And you might be retired. You might be a grandparent, for all I know. Whatever. If you like taking care of children, there is an opportunity to just open up a business. And you can do up to four. I would like to see it more, but, you know, it is what it is. But we have that opportunity for taking care of a small group of children. And if you're cut out for that, that is just it's a great life experience. I always have to relate the story of why I don't like cherry pie. And that's because of an incident that happened probably 60 years ago. The babysitter made a cherry pie for my brother and sister and I. And I would have been, I don't know, 4 or 5 years old. And it was a great cherry pie. And we all ate way too much and got sick. And then I was back. This happened. We grew up in Minnesota, and I was back there, oh, I don't know, 20, 25 years later, and met my babysitter and found out that we laughed about it. And she was only 13 at the time. And it was just something neighbors provided for neighbors. Was that perfect? Well, it was great. She was trying hard. She was trying too hard. But so what? We overcame that, and that was available. And I still remember her and am still fond of her, cherry pie aside. And so
with all your interest and involvement since you've taken on kind of this task, has it been very notable that when you're talking to people that one of the hindrances for people becoming licensed by the state to become daycare people, that it is the bureaucracy that keeps them from wanting to do more?
Yeah, very much so.
So that should be a clue.
That should be a clue, yes. And a specific instance, there's a lady calling. She lived in Kotzebue. And you have to have, in order to get a license, that is to provide over four people, more than four, one of the requirements is a fire extinguisher. And when we make laws, they apply. Well, this one is a federal law, but it applies throughout the state. And you can't ship a fire extinguisher in a passenger airplane. So they have to charter or whatever, wait 6 months to get a fire extinguisher. And then the next hurdle is that some qualified person has to inspect the fire extinguisher every year. And so I hope not, but I think that, well, they are. Somebody from the state has to go out to all of the licensed child care providers. There's an inspection once a year, so they can check, and then now that person, in addition to child care, has got to be able to inspect a fire extinguisher. Incredibly complicated when you try to accomplish that simple task in Kotzebue. And that has prevented that, well, that and other things has prevented child care services from opening in Kotzebue and many other villages. And it's a huge obstacle. It's very expensive to get into the business. But the other side of it, okay, we can stay under four and we can provide child care. And the quality, well, I don't know. But those things, there's a network over Facebook and whatnot, word of mouth advertising that gets out. And that provides the appropriate regulation. And like I say, if we depend on those things and just get more numbers of providers, the system will kind of govern itself. And that's the best way to accomplish any kind of task.
So my takeaway is if you have less than four children, a fire extinguisher is not important anymore.
Well, it's not required. It might still be important, and we should have, you know, I have a fire extinguisher in my kitchen. It doesn't get inspected every year. That's the difference. And will it work? Will it not? Well, I don't know. We got to find out at the time. Nothing ever works perfect, but nothing is perfect. But I like the idea of trying to solve these challenges on an individual, one-on-one basis and go from there.
So your fire extinguisher may be inspected and may work.
Yep.
You don't know if the person that's going to use it knows how to operate it.
Well, correct. Yes, and we don't have that training. So it's an incomplete solution there as well.
All righty, thanks.
All right, thanks a lot, Al. And I hear the music. Yeah. That means the satellite is coming overhead, and it's going to take over the program. So I really thank those who called in. We got some really good information, some things to follow up on. And stay tuned for Problem Corner coming again tomorrow. Thank you for listening.
The heartbeat of Alaska.
They all have a strategy. I'm Lisa Brady, Fox News. For Senator Tim Scott, it's to stay on message in Milwaukee.
We're going to focus on restoring hope, creating opportunities, and protecting the America that we all